At this time, it is my distinct honor to turn the service over to Pastor Larry for a time of ordination and installation.
Well, what a joy to be back with you. You know, in CBC these days, as we grow, and that these kind of these kind of events and celebrations will be more handled by regional folks. You know, we have a new region, the Susquehanna region, and the day will come when installations and ordinations and such be more handled by folks from the region. But I'm happy. Since I have kind of followed you through along what's been quite a journey.
Absolutely.
Since I can remember meeting with the search committee early in their journey. And, you know, it wasn't a lot. You know, I wish I could come to churches in need of a pastor and say, oh, hey, we got all kinds of opportunities. But it's just not like that these days. In most any denomination, and certainly not in our new young denomination. So it's been good to walk with you through this journey and to have the privilege to preach during days when you didn't have a pastor, and to share on the day when Brother Combs was called, and today now to share in both the transfer of his ordination into CBC, and then to install him as your pastor. So I'm going to invite Pastor and Mrs. Combs to come up, if you would please. They were just telling me a bit about their new home, and I think that's neat that I've been in the Ridge Parsonage, and that's exciting. Nice home and beautiful setting, and close to you here, so it seems like a wonderful provision that the Lord has made, and so we're thankful for that. So let's begin by the transfer, brother, of your ordination. You have been ordained in the Church of the Brethren and served a long time. How many years have you been in ministry? 21 years. So you come to us with a long period of having served the Lord as a minister, and it's an honor to be able to bring your ministry credentials into the Covenant Brethren now. And so I would like to ask you some questions as part of the vows of ordination. Brother Galen, do you believe that you are truly called by God and the Covenant Brethren Church as recognized by this congregation to the life and work of ministry in the name of Jesus Christ? If so, would you say, I do?
I do.
Paul the Apostle testified, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Will you endeavor to be diligent in your patience and in your practice of the Christian life, reading the Bible, continuing steadfastly in prayer, taking up your cross daily to follow Christ? If so, would you say, I will?
I will.
Scripture teaches that the church was devoted to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Will you endeavor faithfully to fulfill your calling among the people committed to your care? If so, would you say, I will? In Scripture, ministers are exhorted to tend the flock of God committed to their care, not by constraint, but willingly, not for selfish gain, but eagerly, not by domineering over those in charge, but by example. With your call to be a pastor of a congregation, will you continue to care for the people of God, nursing, teaching, and encourage them, giving direction to the life of the congregation, counseling the troubled, declaring God's forgiveness of sin, continually pointing them to Jesus, and proclaiming his victory over death? If so, would you say, I will?
I will.
The Spirit of God had led Jesus to preach good news to the poor, proclaiming release of the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, setting at liberty the oppressed, and proclaiming the time of God's good favor. With your call to be a pastor of a congregation, will you continue to lead the people of God in their obedience to the global mission of the church, making disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching all that Christ has commanded, guiding their concern for true justice, peace, and freedom for all people found only in Christ, and taking a responsible place in the governance of the church and in service to the world? If so, would you say, I will?
I will.
Paul also wrote, for me to live is Christ. Will you endeavor to conduct yourself so that your life is shaped by Jesus Christ, who took the form of a servant for our sake? And will you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, continually rekindle the gift of God that is in you, to make known to all people the gospel of the grace of God? If so, would you say, I will?
I will.
Do you fully support the statement of faith and the bylaws of the Covenant Brethren Church, and without any reservation, be willing to teach and preach the word of God? If so, say, I will.
I will.
May God then, who has given you the will to do these things, give you the grace to perform them. Brother Galen, God who has called you is faithful and will not fail you. May the Lord bless you and keep you strong in your walk as an ordained minister in the Covenant Brethren Church. Let's pray together. Lord, we are so thankful for our brother and the call you have placed upon his life, for the years that he has served you, and now for this new opportunity. We give you thanks and praise, and we seek your presence to be with him in a special way. Would you anoint him fresh with your Holy Spirit and guide him along each step? Lord, there's a lot of settling in to do for he and his family, and we pray your special grace and blessing upon them as they settle into a new home and this new ministry. Thank you for his dear wife. Bless her as she undergirds his work, and bless their family. Lord, we thank you for all the gifts that you have given to our brother. And we just ask you to be very near now as he continues in his good service to you. Thank you, Lord. Bless our brother, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gifts. Your own copy of the Covenant Brothers Pastor's Manual. Happy to share that with you. This packet is just all about Covenant Brothers. A lot of brochures and things and information that will be helpful to you. And you're probably aware that the Lord has blessed us with a very special relationship with Samaritan's Purse, Brother Franklin Graham's ministry. When we didn't know how in the world a new young denomination, how we'd do mission work, the Lord brought this together. And I sat at a meeting with Samaritan's Purse staff, and they said that most of the denominations we can't be fully connected with because they don't teach the word faithfully. And we're so happy, even though Covenant Brethren is small, to be able to partner with you. And it's been exciting. And so this is some information that they have shared to tell you a little more about them. And then this is maybe the important part. This is your ordination certificate, including your card. When you get stopped for speeding, you know, sometimes that's very helpful for the officer to be able to see that. Seriously, we are very happy to welcome you as an ordained minister in the Covenant Brethren Church. And we'll have a photo op for that then later. Yeah, go ahead.
And now let's share in the work of installation. It was exciting for me to be able to be here on the day in which your vote was taken. And now today, to be able to hear, follow up today on this important day in the life of the congregation as a new pastor that you have called to serve you will be officially installed by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that. It's not just something we're saying. By the direction of the Holy Spirit, you have called Brother Galen Combs to be your pastor, to shepherd you through preaching and teaching and counseling of God's Word. Brother Galen, do you accept the call to serve the Shippensburg congregation as their pastor and to be committed to the spiritual growth for the glory of God as one who will give account for their souls? If so, would you say, I do?
I do.
Will you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, labor to shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being example to the flock? That's from 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3. If so, brother, would you say, I do? Do you commit to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching? That's from 2 Timothy 4, 2. Brother, so would you say, I do.
I do.
Now, for you, the congregation, do you commit to support Brother Galen as your pastor and be in daily prayer for him and his family? If so, would you say, we do?
We do.
Will you strive to let him keep watch over your souls with joy and not with groaning? That's from Hebrews 13:17. If so, would you say, we will?
We will.
Then let's pray. Lord, what a great moment to be able to celebrate Pastor Combs becoming an ordained minister within the Covenant Brethren Church, and to welcome him as the new pastor of the Shippensburg congregation. It's a blessing, and we give you honor and glory and praise, for we believe, Lord, with all our hearts, that you have guided this process. And Lord, I'm praying for your special blessing upon he and his wife, your special blessing upon this congregation as this new chapter begins. And I pray it may be a long, wonderful journey together. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Bless us on this day of celebration. And we'll give you thanks and praise always for every good and perfect gift from your hand. In the precious and holy and matchless and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all the body said, Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your leadership and the search committee.
For scripture this morning, I will be sharing from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. May God bless the reading of his word. This time I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Larry.
It is, as I said, it's very nice to be with you again on this special day. I thank you for the invitation. I always count it a privilege when I can come and share with you. On this day, as we celebrate Pastor Combs becoming your pastor, I want us to think about grace. And I'd like to begin with a story that I actually think I've shared with you here before, but it really speaks to me as I think about this morning. It was 43 years ago now. I was just finishing up my first year at seminary at Bethany in Chicago. And I had applied for and was selected to share in a summer ministry program called Clinical Pastoral Education at Christ Hospital in Oak Lawn. There with four other ministry students, seminary students, I would learn and grow in my ministry with those who were sick and dying. I often say I faced more death in that summer than in many years of ministry. Part of the day I would spend as a chaplain on a 30-bed floor for persons with terminal cancer. Part of the day I would spend in amazing learning experiences, like scrubbing and going into an operating room and standing right at the shoulder of a surgeon as he performed a surgery. It was amazing. And part of the day we'd spend in group time where myself and these other four chaplains and our supervisor would talk about what we were experiencing, what kind of questions it raised, and the discussions would get very deep and theological and sometimes very personal. With me in this group, and pictured here, were two Lutheran, a young man and a young woman, Lutheran seminary student, a United Church of Christ woman who chain smoked the whole time we were in session, and every other word out of her mouth was foul. Her name was Maggie. And a large guy who looked like a lineman for the Chicago Bears from the Black African Methodist Episcopal Church, a very conservative, Brother Lindsay. Now, he and I, of course, hit it off as conservatives, but Maggie and Lindsay were like oil and water. Every group session turned into yelling. Her cursing a blue streak. Our mild-mannered supervisor was at wit's end, and for me, it just made me more and more frustrated because as the summer progressed, it got worse and worse. And, you know, about two-thirds through the summer, our supervisors announced one day very happily that the head of the Evangelical Hospital Association of Chicago was going to be with us for chapel service. That was a real honor to have him, and we were going to share Holy Communion. And much to my supervisor's chagrin, I said, "No thanks. I'm not going to do it." He said, "You have to. It's the president of the Evangelical Hospital Association." I said, "No. All Maggie and Lindsay have done all summer in these sessions has been argue and yell at each other. And I'm not sharing Holy Communion in that context." Well, the whole group spent a lot of time in discussion trying to persuade me that I was wrong and that I shouldn't fall. And finally, I said, "You know, in my tradition, foot washing precedes Holy Communion. And unless I can see Maggie and Lindsay wash one another's feet, I'm not sharing communion. And to my surprise, they all agreed. And so I had the privilege to teach Brethren Love Feast to two Lutheran seminarians, a United Church of Christ seminarian, and a Baptist hospital chaplain. And on the day of our simple love feast, we all watched with tears in our eyes as Maggie and Lindsay knelt before each other and washed one another's feet and stood up and embraced. And they meant it. It was a very touching moment. Something miraculous happened in that moment. For the rest of the summer, Maggie and Lindsay, and talk about the odd couple, for the rest of the summer, they were inseparable. You'd see them eating lunch together. You'd see them sitting beside each other in group sessions now, consoling each other and encouraging each other. When one of them faced a particularly hard death on the floor where they were serving as chaplain, the other was there to comfort them. What made the difference? Grace. Grace had come into the picture. They still disagreed on a lot of things theologically, big time. But they showed grace to each other. It made all the difference in the world. And I want us this morning briefly to consider the importance of grace in the relationship between a congregation and a pastor. So pray with me. Lord, what a wonderful day. What a wonderful day. The culmination of years and meetings upon meetings and prayer upon prayer. And we stand on this threshold of this new relationship for Brother Galen and this congregation. And we're feeling very blessed and very thankful. Lord, as we study just a bit, we ask that you would be present in the power of your Holy Spirit and that you would be our teacher. Allow this poor messenger to be way in the background and your perfect truth to be what's front and center. And Lord, please be with us by your Spirit and teach us. Please, Lord. Lord, you are our God who is holy. Lord, you are amazing in grace. Lord, you are the God of new beginnings. Please send your Spirit now. Please send your Spirit now. Please send your Spirit now upon this place. Amen. Grace, the Greek word is charis. Comes the root of our word charismatic. It's used 155 times in the New Testament. 100 of those by Paul must be pretty important, don't you think? And grace is closely related to mercy, although I think folks often get the two confused. So let's just clarify ourselves about the difference between the two. Mercy, you see, is not receiving something that you deserve. Let me say it again. Mercy is not receiving something that you deserve. For our sin, you know, we deserve death. But through Christ, we receive mercy. Now, grace, in contrast, is receiving something you don't deserve. Let me say it again. Grace is receiving something you don't deserve. So mercy, I know it's a little confusing. Let it settle in. Mercy is not receiving something you do deserve, and grace is receiving something you don't deserve. In God's mercy, through Christ, we're not destroyed by his righteous and completely justified wrath at our sin. But then God goes beyond that to give us many gifts, eternal life, for heaven's sakes. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, abundant life, and on and on and on, blessing upon blessing upon blessing, and that's grace. Mercy, not receiving something that we do deserve. Grace, receiving something we don't deserve. And mercy is best shown in the cross of Christ, where he took the very punishment that we deserve, and by his blood, we receive mercy. Didn't receive what we really deserve. And grace is best remembered, I think, in the foot tub, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and we practice it every time we share in our love feast. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He washed all of the disciples' feet. Thomas the doubter, he washed them. Peter the denier, he washed them. Judas the betrayer, yes, he washed his feet. All of them. They didn't deserve his love. But by grace, he washed their feet. And we, and by that I mean me, Larry, and you, it's the Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, and you, Pastor Combs, he calls us all to grace. From our morning passage, Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's listen again. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So, I'd like to share some grace challenges for you, the Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Congregation, and for Brother Combs as you become their pastor. So first, I'd like to address the congregation. Number one, your new pastor is a human being. That surprise you? He's not superhuman. He doesn't wear a cape and doesn't have an S on his chest. He has real feelings and emotions. His dear wife Anita could probably share with us that he can get tired and he can get grumpy. He can get frustrated. He can get sad. But he can get excited, elated, filled with vision. So please remember this as you welcome him into your life. He's a human being. And closely related to that is that your new pastor is not perfect. Brother Combs, put your fingers in your ears a moment. Psst. He's not perfect. He is a sinner saved by grace. He will likely make some mistakes along the way. We all do as pastors. He may do things differently than the way you prefer. There may come a time when you see something in him that rubs you the wrong way. Grace, dear ones, grace. Romans 3, verses 10 and 22. 23, there is no one righteous, not even one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So remember that your new pastor is human and that he's not perfect. Third, And fourth, third, you may at times disagree with your pastor, and that's okay. It's okay. We're different. We have different thoughts, different ideas, and sometimes we're going to disagree. And that's closely related to number four, that when those times come, be willing to talk to him. And if the time comes, you may need to hold him accountable. But you may also expect him to hold you accountable. We're all, okay, we're all fallen human beings. We all have different preferences. Some like praise and worship music, and some prefer hymns. Some think the Baltimore Ravens are great. And some know Pittsburgh Steeler reality. Heaven help us to show grace to each other tonight at 8 o'clock. But seriously, when that time comes and you find that there's something that your brother has done that you disagree with, please don't talk to another person about that until you've talked to him. He will welcome you to come and sit down and talk with him. See, disagreeing is normal in our human existence. Show grace. Talk about it. Listen. And there comes time when we all need to be held accountable. And when that time comes, those of you in leadership who may be called to that moment, do it with grace and love. There was a time at Bermudian when I became kind of angry at a board meeting. And I said some pretty harsh things to a brother there that disagreed with me. I'm not proud to share that with you. But it's such a great example of this, because after the meeting, one of my dear, dear friends came to me and said, "Larry, you were out of line. I know you're upset, but you should never have said some of the things you said." He held me accountable. And the next Sunday, I called that brother that I had spoken strongly to come up during worship. And before the congregation, I apologized publicly, and we embraced. Now, that moment could have been a divisive, breaking, dangerous moment in the life of the congregation, but instead it became a strengthening moment. This brother still disagreed with me on some issues, but he became a strong supporter of my ministry. And I remember when I retired, he and his wife coming and so lovingly talking about how they appreciated my ministry. I don't think that could have happened if the one brother hadn't held me accountable and I hadn't been willing to be accountable. Romans 12:18, and I call it the golden verse of counseling, says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." You see, you're not responsible for the other people around you. You can't change how this person feels or that person feels, but you're responsible for you and how you're going to react in such situations. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Five, invite him into your life. Remember that Brother Combs is new here and new to the community. And he has a deep desire, I can sense and hear that already, to know you and to minister to you. So when it seems appropriate, invite he and his family to your family gatherings. to birthday parties and holiday gatherings and graduations and summer barbecues, you'll learn to know him a lot better when you see him other than just in this pulpit. You'll learn to know him a lot better, and he'll learn to know you. And then when those moments come, those difficult moments, when those sicknesses come, when those funerals come, it's going to mean a lot. So invite him into your life. Remember, the Bible calls us, Romans 12:15, to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. You know, when I retired from Bermudian, some of the families that had invited me into their lives, that were some of the hardest to walk away from as their pastor, because they had invited me in. I'd been with them in moments of laughter and joy and fun, as well as moments of sadness and grief. Invite him into your life. 6 and 7, pray for your pastor every day. Every day. And 7, then remember that his primary calling as the pastor of Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, his primary calling is to equip you for the work of ministry. I trust you have a daily prayer list. It probably begins with your family. Sure. You know, I pray every day for my children and my grandchildren, Deb's niece and nephew that we're very close to. Pray every day for them. I repeat to the Lord, their needs. Make sure Pastor Combs and his family are on your prayer list. You know, the Apostle Paul was quick to say 8 times in his New Testament letters, pray for me. He wasn't ashamed to say that at all. And let me say it for my brother, pray for him and his dear wife and their family. Pray for them. Ministry can be wonderful. It can be fulfilling. It can be the greatest blessing, but it can
calling is to equip you for the work of ministry. That's not what Larry says. That's what the Bible says. In American Christianity, we so often get this wrong. Pastor Combs' primary work is not to do ministry with you and for you, but to help you, to equip you to do ministry. Make that part of your prayers for him. That in his preaching, in his teaching, in his visiting, in his work with you and among you, he will be equipping all of you to be about ministry. Now, you've had some good weeks, months, years of not having formally a pastor to work with you. And I've seen I've seen the ministry happening out of this congregation without a pastor in place. Don't think that now that changes. The boy, I can be done doing that now. We got a pastor to take care of that. No, no. His primary calling is to equip you to do the work of ministry so that together this body is able to do the work that the Lord has called it to. Now, Brother Galen, let's consider these callings from your perspective. First, your new congregation is imperfect. They're all glaring at me now. They don't like me to say that. I've said a lot of praiseworthy things about them, and it's a great congregation, brother. They're just normal people like you and like me. They're just wonderfully imperfect people. They may at times frustrate you. Yeah. We pastors get frustrated with our flock, and that's okay. That's okay. That's normal. That's part of the journey. So I invite you, brother, to always be free to talk. And if someone you feel like you need to make an appointment with, to sit down with, do that and talk it out. I had a brother at Bermudian that I heard was very upset with me because we were going to have the choir sing at Love Feast. Carol? We were going to have the choir sing at Love Feast. And we had never had the choir sing at Love Feast before, and so that was going to be something new and different. And my brother was unhappy about that. And his wife was choir director. And I went to his farm, and it was winter time. We sat by the wood-burning stove. And he cried. And it helped me to realize he wasn't just being a stick in the mud. He wasn't just bucking against change. He was feeling a very real sense of loss in that. Something that he cherished. The simplicity of just a cappella music at our Love Feast was being lost. And he wasn't just being mean. He wasn't being bullheaded. He was feeling lost. And it helped me. Helped me a lot to understand that. So, talk it out. And, brother, there'll come times when you need to hold them accountable. And that's some of the hard work of ministry. But it can make a big difference. And expect for you to be held accountable too. And I would suspect that you, like me, I wanted that. I knew my imperfections and I wanted them to hold me accountable. Next, gladly accept the opportunities into their lives. Now, this can go two ways, you know. One, it can be that nobody ever invites you in. or the other side of that is they hear Larry and you get invited to everything. And, you know, your family and your family time and your own sense of self-care, you need to use common sense with that. But I encourage you, as possible, when those invitations come, to go to a birthday party or a barbecue when it's not a pressing thing. Take advantage of that and it will help weave your lives together. Next, brother, pray for this congregation every day in your prayer life. During COVID, we had a few Sundays at Bermudian, like most, where we closed down, we didn't have service. And we put a service online. We did that. We prepared that Saturday night. And so Sunday morning, I was getting up ready to go to church. And Kathy said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm going to church." She says, "We're not having church today." I said, "I know, but that's where I go on Sunday mornings. And so I'm going." And so I went and stood in the empty sanctuary, grieving, but then started to walk up and down the pews because, funny thing, Pastor, and you know this from your pastoral service, these people sat in the same place every week. So I could walk up and down the rows and remember exactly who sat here and who sat here, and I would just take my time and walk through the sanctuary up and down the pews and take a moment to pray for that family and that person. Maybe I knew something was going on in their life hard, or maybe I knew a celebration. Maybe I didn't know a lot to pray for, but I could still lift them up in prayer. And that was such a blessing. That was one of those things came out of COVID that was a blessing to me, and I continued to do it at other times long after COVID. Another way to do that is to pray with the directory. In whatever your daily devotion is, maybe you're going to take two or three or four families a day
from your directory and just work your way through your directory praying for your people. But pray for them every day. And finally, remember that your primary calling is to equip them for the work of ministry. So it was a hard area for me in my years of ministry. I like doing the things of ministry. And sometimes I knew that with my experience, I could do this or that pretty well. And if someone else was going to do it, I was going to have to help them and give them some oversight and train them. It'd be easier just to do it myself. But our calling is to equip the body to do ministry. And so always remember that. Now I'd like to leave one last scripture for the congregation. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. It is a high calling, the work of pastor. And Brother Combs is worthy of your respect. The role, pastor of Simsburg Covenant Brethren Church, is worthy of respect, and he, as your pastor, is worthy of respect. My grandmother, Stearman, had polio as a child and was in a wheelchair. And when I was just a little guy and would go stay with Grandma, we'd always have devotions, and she would open her Bible, and there in the fly leaf of her Bible, she had written all the ministers who had served our home church, Mechanicsburg, beginning with her father-in-law, Charles Stearman, who was the founding pastor. And she would, almost every time we'd have devotion, she'd read through that list. And then she'd want to pray in thanksgiving for the ministry of those pastors, right up to the current one. And it gave to me a sense of that, and this was long before Larry ever imagined that I was going to be a pastor, gave me a sense of that the role of pastor and those who are called to it are worthy of special respect. That's what the scripture says. Doesn't mean we always agree with them. It doesn't mean we might not be upset with them sometimes, but the role and the person is worthy of respect. So remember that. And then two scriptures to leave for Pastor Galen. First, from Acts 6:4, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This, as you know, comes from that passage in Acts where the church is growing and the young church has a feeding ministry and it's beginning to grow and take a lot of work. And finally, the apostles say, this is taking too much of our time away from prayer and preparation for teaching and preaching. Now, they weren't saying there that the preaching ministry wasn't important, not at all, or they wouldn't have done what they did, but instead they made a special effort and a special calling process to call what we refer to as the first deacons there, who would then handle that feeding ministry. They weren't saying that the feeding ministry wasn't important. They weren't saying that I'm too good to wait on tables. But they were saying that a primary responsibility of mine is prayer and preaching and teaching, and I mustn't let anything get in the way of that. So remember that. And then second, as we've talked about from Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. That's your calling, brother, and I wish you the best in it. My dear sisters and brothers, this new relationship is all about grace. And I'm praying for a long, long, grace-filled congregation, pastor relationship, bearing much fruit in all of you and in this community. May God richly bless you together. Amen. Brother, would you come?
One thing you're going to find out about me is that I love to sing. And so sometimes I will just say to you, will you join me as we sing? And so I would like us to start out this ministry together by singing a song that you may or may not know. I'm going to give you the words and then we'll try it. The song is, "My Only Hope Is You, Jesus. My Only Hope Is You. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you." So I don't care to sing a solo to start, but when you feel like you know it, will you join with me? It goes like this. My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you. Great job. Our only hope is you, Jesus. Our only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, our only hope is you. Amen. If you would join me in a responsive reading, we'll share together in these words under the bread and cup communion. By the light of the star, let's join together. By the light of the star, God led travelers to the Christ child. And when they saw the child, they were overwhelmed with joy. Maybe that's just me. Is that just me? Maybe that's just me, since nobody's doing it with me. Let me try that again and listen to these words, since you're not saying them with me. By the light of the star, God led travelers to the Christ child. And when they saw the child, they were overwhelmed with joy. By the light of divine love, God leads us today to this holy communion where we share together in the sacred symbols of Christ's body and the blood that he shed on the cross. And so today, as we are gathered together, we encounter the living God, the living Christ, and we taste the deepest joy as we share together in the bread and the cup, in this communion that God has given to us through the death of his son, Jesus. And we acknowledge together as we receive the bread and the cup that our only hope in this life is through Jesus. Amen. So today, as we prepare ourselves to come to this Lord's table, we remember, as we partake of the bread and the cup, we remember that it was our sin that led Jesus to die on the cross. And so we recognize, when we receive the bread and the cup, we recognize the seriousness of our sin. And so we will have a time now of silence to examine our hearts, to examine our lives. It's a time to confess our sins, and it's a time when we commit ourselves to a closer walk with Jesus. And so this time, I want to invite you to a time of silence when we will pray to God in silence, and then I will lead us in prayer. And this is a time where we bring our hearts before the Lord. None of us are perfect. And we acknowledge that we need God's help. We need God's forgiveness. And it's a time that we can commit ourselves to growing closer to the Lord. Will you join me in a time of silence as we bring our sins, our shortcomings to God before we come to the communion table? Let's join our hearts in silent confession. Almighty God, you know that we are not perfect. And Father, you know that there are times when we say things we shouldn't say. Father, you know that there are times when we do things we shouldn't do. And God, you know there are things that you've called us to do that we refuse to do. And so, Father, there are shortcomings we have today and sins that we bring before you. And Father, today we ask for your forgiveness. As we come to your communion table, Father, we pray that you would cleanse us from our sins. And Father, in this new year, with the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that you would help us to be more like you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And together all of God's people said, amen. And now receive this invitation that every one of us who are in love and in fellowship in the family of God, every one of us who do truly and earnestly repent of our sins and who humbly put our trust in Christ, every one of us who desire his help that we might walk in newness of life are invited today to draw near to God and to receive this Holy Communion to our comfort through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Luke tells us that Jesus himself took a loaf of bread. And when Jesus himself had given thanks for the bread, he broke the bread and he gave it to them and he said these words. He said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you please join me in a prayer of blessing for the bread? Holy God, today we pray your blessing on this sacred symbol of Christ's broken body. Father, we thank you today for the agony that Jesus went through for each and every one of us. And today, Father, as we receive and partake of this bread, we do it in faith. And we do this, Father, remembering the life and death of Jesus Christ. Father, as we eat this bread today, help us be more thankful for Christ's broken body. Help us be more thankful for the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross as he died for our sins. And Father, I pray today that as we eat this bread as a church family, Lord, you would help us to be more committed to serving you. Help us be willing to be broken open for the needs of the people in this Shippensburg community. And for the needs of the people in this world. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the one whose body was broken on the cross for us, that together we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. And now I would ask the deacons if they would come. And the deacons will come to serve the bread, and we ask if you would please hold your bread until all are served, and then we will partake together in the bread. As we eat this bread, may we affirm our faith in words that were first spoken by Christians many centuries ago. Here are the words. I will say these words if you'll repeat after me. And then we will partake together in the bread. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. We are told that Jesus himself said these words when he took the cup. He said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And we are reminded, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As we think about what Christ did on the cross as his blood was shed for us, I would invite you to join me in a prayer of blessing today for this cup. Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we pray your blessing today upon this cup, which to us represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. Father, today we lift our hearts and we are thankful for your love that was poured out for each one of us. And today as we drink this cup, Father, I pray that your forgiveness and your Holy Spirit would be poured afresh into each of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, I pray that as we drink this cup, we will commit ourselves to pouring ourselves out into the world around us. We would commit ourselves, I pray, as we drink this cup, we'll commit ourselves to pouring your love out into Shippensburg and into the world. We commit ourselves today as we drink this cup. Fill us, O Lord. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who shed his blood for us on the cross, that we pray. And together all of God's people said, amen. Our deacons will come now and serve the cup. And I want to invite you, if you would, to please hold your cup until everyone has been served. Would you please repeat after me the words of faith? I will say these words and then we will say them together and we will partake of the cup together. The cup which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The cup which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Will you join with me in a prayer of thanksgiving for our time together spent at the Lord's communion table? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that you led the wise men to Jesus. We thank you for this Sunday when we can remember the praise and worship that was offered by the wise men to your son Jesus. And Father, we thank you today that you led all of us to this communion table because of what Christ did for us on the cross. We're so thankful that we can celebrate on this day of the new year. We can celebrate together what you did for us when you sent Jesus to die on the cross. Father, may this spiritual nourishment that we have received today give us strength in this new year. May this spiritual nourishment that we have received help us to grow spiritually and be spiritually nourished so that we can go out in this new year and serve you and show people the love of Jesus through our words and through our actions. It's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the one who died for us on the cross, that we pray, and together all of God's people said. Before we receive our benediction, I would like to share just a little, not another sermon, but I do want to say to you, I am so thankful to be here in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania as your pastor. And I am very excited about this new chapter in our lives. You don't have to worry about me. I'm not a Ravens fan or a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so I'm not going to get in the way of that. I am a Cincinnati Bengals fan. Maybe I've made things worse. But anyway, I want to tell you that I love the mountains of Pennsylvania. I was hoping when we come, Lord, please let there be mountains in Pennsylvania. Where we live at 1095 Ridge Road, and there are mountains that we can look out our window and see. Praise the Lord for the mountains. And it's so wonderful to hear the Amish Mennonite buggies right there on Ridge Road. As we go to sleep at night, I'm awake in the morning at 1 a.m. I can hear somebody and their horses going somewhere. But seriously, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you to the search committee. What a job the search committee had to look for 2 years. Thank you for this church and your dedication to the Lord in the last 2 years. You've already been doing ministry without a pastor. And so I am so thankful for the opportunity to share with you in this work. I thank you for your prayers and support as we begin this journey together. Thank you. And now let us receive this benediction. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you and praise you for the message of Jesus Christ. We thank you for those wise men who made that journey. They followed the star and they worshiped. They showed us the importance of giving you the honor and glory that you deserve. And so, Father, today I pray as we leave this place that that message would stay with us. That message of grace, the grace, that amazing grace of Jesus. And Father, I pray that that amazing grace that sent Jesus to die on the cross, that that grace would stay with us so that we could go out and share it and tell it on the mountain and tell it in Shippensburg and tell the world about Jesus. Help us to be able to do that. And Father, I pray that we would remember the message today that as I begin here as pastor, that we as a church will give each other your grace as we begin this journey together. Father, thank you for all that you do for us, because it's all about you. It's all about your grace. And Father, I pray that as we leave this place today, that you would take us safely to wherever we're going. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that together we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.